Welcome to the Should Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Chris Massaro, professional sports bettor, will join us. We will go over the NBA Finals. It is here. Game one, the Knicks and the Spurs. Can't wait. Going to spend a lot of time on that. Maybe do some Belmont. He's always got baseball bets, baseball futures. Maybe get into some awards, see if he's bet anything for football. A lot to talk about with Chris. Always enjoy having him on. He did a great job when we had him on before the Derby about, 6 weeks ago, a couple months ago. And we will have Chris on again and see what he thinks. And again, spend a lot of time on the finals. And the finals is where we will begin. And hard not to be excited. This is a great finals. You have the Knicks in the finals for the first time in forever. You have Wembanyama in the finals. And what's interesting, you know, usually you get these teams in the finals. They have some experience. Last year, I guess, was an exception, too, with the Thunder and the Pacers. But both these teams kind of break some trends because the Knicks, you know, if they were to win, Brunson's really not the typical one on a championship team. You look at the ones on championship teams, Steph, it's Jokic, it's LeBron. It's those 1AA-plus guys. Brunson's a really good player, but Brunson's really not on that level. It's more the Celtics model of, hey, they win because they've got a good 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players with Bridges, with Ananobi, with Towns. So they would be a little bit of an outlier. Plus, they're a 3 seed. And if the Spurs win, I mean, their best player is 22, and they haven't been to the playoffs. They were in 34 games last year. They were picking second, you know, in the draft. And here they are about to win a championship or possibly going to win a championship here, favored to do so. So either way, an outlier, you know, neither team finals experience. I guess the only guy with major finals experience, Bridges, played on that finals team with the Suns 4 or 5 years ago now. But new blood, it's fun. I'm excited. Should be a good series. The Knicks beat them 2 out of 3 in the regular season. You go back and look, those weren't, you know, the regular season, now you got to kind of pick and choose. All right, did this game matter? Where people sit now, this wasn't these were games where the teams tried, it seemed, I guess is the best way to put it. So I don't think you totally dismiss that. I mentioned this on the Monday pod. I like the Spurs in a long series. The fact that the Knicks were competitive against them, not just competitive, 1, 2 out of 3, I think bodes well. And I think that the Spurs ultimately, best player in the series in Wembanyama, and they have home court. That's enough to get them home. And the stat I keep coming back to, the Knicks shot 43% over this 11-game run where they've won 11 in a row, all by double digits. They just destroyed people. Sure. Meanwhile, their opponents have shot 29%. League average is about 35%. So you figure the Knicks due to cool off a little bit, their opponents due to hit some threes. And I think the Knicks hang in the series, win a couple games. Yeah, maybe 2-2 going into 5. Spurs win 5 and then close it out in 6. I'm not sure the pattern here, and you can't bet these patterns here on DraftKings. The Spurs win game 1, Spurs win game 2, Knicks win game 3. Well, throughout the series, whatever order you like, and if you hit it right, you get some really long payouts, which makes it intriguing. But I'm going Spurs in 6. Best player, home court. But this is awesome. I mean, this is a great, great final. You get Oklahoma City out of there. People sick of Oklahoma City. And this is fun. I mean, this is really, I think, going to be a fun series. Game 1 on Wednesday, game 2 on Friday, game 3 on Monday. And then missing a Saturday finals game. And then it goes all the way until Friday, June 19th, if it goes 7, which, again, would be very unusual to have a Friday game 7. But that's the way it is. And no Sunday games this year for whatever reason. Usually they line it up so that game 7 lands on a Father's Day. I'm not sure why they stayed away from Sundays, but they did. And we'll be watching whatever days the games fall on. We will be watching. So excited for it. Excited to get going. I don't have any feel for game 1. I could make the case, you know what, it's a good time to get the Spurs. They're off a 7-gamer. This is the first time in NBA history a team has played 3 opponents coming off game 7s, which, I mean, you think about it, it's hard to do. You can't play a team coming off a game 7 in round 1. The Knicks got the Sixers in round 2 coming off 7. They got the Cavs in the conference finals coming off 7 against Detroit, and now they get San Antonio off of 7 against OKC. So first time in history a team has played an opponent coming off 3 straight game 7. So maybe this is the time to pick them off. But on the other hand, you have gotten 3 days to rest. This is not just like, hey, we play on Monday and then we turn around on Wednesday. I mean, we got done Saturday night. You had Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. You're home for Wednesday. You've had time to catch your breath here. So if anything, I would probably lay it, if anything, but No play for me. I think the best bet, Spurs in six, plus 550. I thought about, I'm not going back to the well with these long shot MVPs. If it's the Spurs, it's probably Wemby. If it's the Knicks, it's probably Brunson. If I had to pick anybody, I guess it'd be Anunoby just at 70-1 because he could guard Wemby and hit a bunch of threes, and you have that Iguodala pass similar to the handicap with Caruso. But with the way they got close but didn't get home and how frustrating that was, I don't have the appetite to get myself into it again and just go down that road again. I was just so discouraged from coming close but not hitting that. But if I had to go outside the box with anyone, it would be Anunoby. So we'll see what Chris Massaro thinks coming up here in a minute. Spurs in six plus 550 is the pick. Looking forward to a good series, a long series. I'd be surprised if it's a sweep. I'd be somewhat surprised if it's a five game. I mean, you can get a competitive five gamer where Spurs win a couple close games at home. They get one of the two in New York and then they close it out, but the games are close and it's more competitive than the five gamer. I mean, that's always possible. But I'm hoping for and expecting a long series here with the Spurs coming out on top. Quickly on baseball, Judge missing some time with an injury. Unclear now how many days this really, it's a few days, no big deal. If it's a week, no big deal. But Rice has better numbers than him anyway. Rice, you can still get a 20-1 at the time of recording this. I would imagine by the time this is up, those 20-1s are going to be gone because his numbers are tremendous. Who knows? If it turns into an IL stint for Judge, then that changes the conversation. But that would really open it up. And the fact that Judge doesn't have Judge type numbers. He's got good numbers, but it's not like he's, 50 points better than everybody like he has been on a typical year. Maybe a little bit of a hint that it's age, maybe something's wrong, maybe a combination of the two, what A leads to B, that kind of thing. So Judge injury maybe opens up these awards here and gives our Rice bet at 150-1 some legs. And again, if you could still find him 15-20-1, I do not think that's a bad bet whatsoever. Rice has tremendous numbers and he will really, come into the spotlight here with Judge down, even if it's for, I would imagine it's for a few days. And once it's a few days, maybe if it leaks into a week, they put him on the IL and that becomes not an insurmountable amount of time. Obviously it's a long baseball season. He missed some time last year, was still able to win it, but it's noteworthy, I guess would be the way to put it. It's noteworthy that, that Judge has missed some time. So NHL final underway. We'll get Chris's thoughts on that too. Belmont, NBA, a lot to do. Chris Massaro, professional sports bettor. That is coming up. This should have been more podcast. All right, we are back. Should have been more podcast. You can catch him all over VSiN. Bet Rivers, he does a great job and he joins this podcast occasionally. He joins us now, professional sports bettor, Chris Massaro. Chris, what's going on, man? Great time of the year. NBA Finals, NHL Finals, Belmont, which I know you're into. I'll get your thoughts on that. But how's it going? How are you?
Everything's good. I had a great week. A lot of good things came to fruition for me on some future parlays over the last few days. Really wanted my the two best scenarios I had were Spurs Pistons, but my second best scenario was Spurs Knicks. So extremely happy that it worked out. Once in a while we do complain. I know I like to complain. You like to complain. We like to, if you're a sports bettor, you do a lot of complaining. But once in a while, you put the effort in, the time in, and sometimes it actually works out. And very happy. And even had some icing on the cake on Sunday when I got Mizorowski home for most wins in May on the Brewers. So very excited. I'm in a great spot for the finals. I got some ideas on how I'm going to bet it moving forward, but very happy how things have worked out. And like you mentioned, it is a good time. You got the hockey, you got the basketball, opposite nights most of the time, a little bit of action in baseball. And we get some horse racing this weekend as well.
All right, NBA, this is the finals. It's hard not to be excited about it. You got Wembanyama on one side. You got the Knicks, the Garden, haven't been in forever. I think it's a long series. I think you have to respect what the Knicks have done. I know it's been against some questionable competition, but when you win as convincingly as they have, that has to be respected. Ultimately, I like Spurs in a long series. Where do you come down here? Just big picture here, this NBA Finals.
Well, if you're going to go back and look at some of the games that they played during the regular season, first game was in the NBA Cup. You got to kind of take into consideration that the Spurs had just beaten OKC the game before. So maybe they were a little bit of a hangover there, but they didn't really come out hungover. They led big going into the fourth quarter, kind of let it slip away. Maybe they were out of gas. The Knicks outscored them 35-19 in the fourth. You know, the Knicks dominated on the glass with 59 rebounds to 42. And coincidentally, too, they dominate them in the paint, which is something you don't usually see as the Wemby team, 56 to 44. That was a game where Wemby came off the bench, only 25 minutes, 18 and 6. OG had a big game, 40 minutes, 28 and 9. So, you know, were they out of gas that game? I'm not sure, but hey, give the Knicks credit for coming on in the fourth quarter and getting the win, winning the NBA Cup. 2 weeks later, on New Year's Eve, they played. It was a tale of two quarters. The first quarter, Knicks jumped on a big 45 points in the first quarter, only 36 for the Spurs. But then the fourth quarter, Spurs got them back 41 to 30. They won 134-132. Both teams shot close to 50%. Knicks shot 52 threes, 22-52, 42%. So a couple outlier games. Champagne had a huge game, 36 points. He had 11 for 17 from three. Completely ridiculous. Fox had a big game, 26. Clarkson off the bench had 20. Just trying to find, like, you know, what's the outlier here? Is there one guy going to dominate? And if you look through the games, you don't really see that. In the final game of the season, it's a weird spot, perfect spot for the Knicks. Spurs were off a perfect February, 11-0. They go into New York City on a Friday night. They have Friday night off, Saturday night off. They have to play the dreaded Sunday day game at MSG, and they just didn't have any energy. The only guy who came to play was Wemby, 25 for 13. Rest of the team no-showed, but that's an obvious spot because they're probably partying in New York City off the big winning streak with the 2 days in New York. Spurs only shot 26% from three. So to your point, I agree. I think it's going to be a long series. I think the bet, though, is Knicks game one. I played it plus five, minus 110. I saw 5.5 yesterday. I was getting upset, but we're back to 4.5 now. So I'm confident. I think it's a really good spot. A lot of emotion you saw it coming out of Wemby. Some of the young guys, like almost like they won the championship. They just fought the best team in the league. And now they're going to get the Knicks coming into their building. A little bit of a letdown. I know it's the finals, but I really like Knicks game one. And I also have some series bets off of that too. But I wonder what your thoughts were on the same thing. You know, the spot just for the Knicks getting the points off the emotional win.
Completely agree. The spot favors the Knicks. And you know what? If you're going to steal one on the road, and game one's usually a good spot to steal one. We saw it last round with the Spurs in OKC, where you get them in game one. And sometimes those, as the series settles in, it gets harder and harder to get them, although the Spurs did win in seven. But on the other hand, you know, the OKC was banged up by the end of that series. I just worry. I keep making this point, like some of those Warriors-Cavs series where the West was so much better than the East, and the Cavs would just go in, and they hadn't played any competition like the Warriors. Not that this team is the Warriors, because they're not, but I just worry the level of competition, that it's just a different speed here for the Knicks. That being said, I really don't want to lay it here with the Spurs in game one.
Yeah, I agree with you. The competition on the Knicks side of things, the Cavs team was a pretty weak Eastern Conference competitor. Philly kind of mailed it in. The Hawks were the Hawks. They had a nice winning streak at the end of the year, but I'm not sure how good of a team they were. All that being said, my biggest bet on this series is going to be over 5.5 games, minus 170. You can find that at DraftKings. I'm going to play that for a few units. The way I'm going to back it up as a saver is I cannot see the Knicks winning in a short series. Maybe the Spurs could win it in five. So I'm going to do as a little bit of a saver bet, I'm going to do the Spurs plus 390 to win in five at a 4-1. But my bigger bet is going to be on the over. Just want to have a little insurance in case something crazy happens. You know, I guess the Spurs could win in four. I just don't see that happening. There's a lot of different combos, too, if you look on DraftKings, where you could have, you know, Knicks game one, Spurs game two, Knicks game three, Spurs game four, and whatever, you know, scenario you like. You know, you could play it with a key. I'm going to key a couple with the Knicks winning game one, just because I think the spot is there. But I really think the Spurs do get the series. And if you agree with me on the fact that the Knicks get game one and the Spurs get the series, you can find a really great price at plus 455 if you shop around for that. So I just think even if the Knicks do get game one, the Wemby ability, the leadership of these young guys, Castle and Hopper, and you know, they got some really good Champagne and Vassell. They've got some really good players on this team. And I just think overall, like you said, the competition in the West so much stronger than the East. And even if they do lose game one, I think they'll regroup and eventually get the series.
What if I made you, if I pinned you down to an exact, like Spurs in six, Spurs in seven, what would you ultimately go to if you had to pick one of them?
I like Spurs in six. All the scenarios I did on the exact result all started with Knicks game one, and they all ended in Spurs game six. I don't think it goes seven. I just don't think the Knicks, you know, we've discussed about how hard Knicks run they've been on lately, you know, with this three-point shooting, the net rating. But they're playing some teams that don't actually have good three-point shooting defense or good defense at all. You're going to be in a whole nother animal here. We saw what they were able to – I mean, SGA had a great game seven, but we saw what they were able to do, shutting him down for most of the series. These three-point shots are not going to come easily. Obviously, the paint's going to be an issue. It's going to be interesting to see if they bring Towns out to the three-point line the whole time to bring Wemby out from the paint. That's going to be one of the matchups. But I also like, even if the Knicks steal game one, which I do anticipate there's a good chance of happening, I really like the way Mitch Johnson has adjusted throughout the playoffs. He's been an unbelievable coach. If we look back on this season at some point, which we – you know, we don't tend to do often and like, you know, rehash awards, but Mitch Johnson is the coach of the year, and I don't think there's any doubt about that.
What do you think the Knicks' plan is for Wemby? You know, Towns on him, you worry about foul trouble. Anunoby could do a good job. How do you think the Knicks approach Wemby?
I think they'll probably go with Anunoby. I saw some stats that he's one of the most efficient guys guarding Wemby. Obviously, it's a short sample size. We'll see if Wemby, you know, it was nervous for me the other night. Wemby picks up the fifth foul, goes right to the bench. I'm like, when are they going to bring him back in? They brought him, you know, that one 90-second window there, saved the game, the Cornette block. We all know about it. But, yeah, Wemby getting in foul trouble is a big issue. And the problem I'm having with Wemby, the non-Wemby minutes, and one criticism I've had of Johnson is they seem to play too fast when he's out. I wish they would kind of spread the floor, take the air out of the ball a little bit, let Wemby rest up, and then let him get back in the game instead of playing frenetic, you know, pace where they're shooting the ball with 14 seconds on the shot clock, going all these threes. I'd like him to go a little bit slower during that period of time. But the Knicks like to speed it up. It's gonna be a fun series, and I really like over 5.5 is my best bet overall.
Finals MVP. I mean, I went through it last week, last round with Caruso, so I'm less inclined. I forgot my heart broken to try to, hey, let me make a case for Anunoby at 70 or 80 to 1. To me, if it's the Spurs, it's Wemby. If it's the Knicks, it's Brunson. I don't know. Do you feel differently, or are you just kind of throwing money away if you're taking somebody else?
No, I agree with you there. I mean, Brunson's going to have the ball in his hands so much. And we saw it during the Cleveland series. When he didn't have his hands on the ball, there were issues. It's like, you know, that game one. It's finally he took over. You know, people say he takes too many shots in some games where he's got way too many shots. But I mean, he's just the go-to guy. He makes everyone else go when he's getting into the paint and making those short jumpers, the tough ones that he makes, it opens up the floor for everyone else. So I really, maybe you take a shot on OG because maybe he shuts down Wemby a little bit. And also has some big offensive games. But when you're battling against Wemby the whole time, you're probably not going to have that much energy to be that effective offensively. Then there's the other angle with Hart. They're probably going to leave him open for threes, you know, the same way that they left Caruso open and some of the other guys on OKC open for threes. You know, they're going to, hey, you can't cover everyone.
Right.
You know, Wemby's got, you know, draws a double team. So, I mean, excuse me, you know, Brunson's going to draw a double team. We'll just leave Hart open. He's the worst three-point shooter. You know, that maybe he gets hot a couple games because he has the tendency to get a lot of rebounds. So sometimes you fill up the stat sheet, but I really don't see it. I think it's between Brunson or Wemby, but I wouldn't be one of those people who would try to take Wemby as the MVP instead of laying the bigger price in the series. I think that's too risky to do.
Yeah. And I'm looking – and maybe I'm just missing it here. I'm looking for the exact series outcome, and you get some big prices here at DraftKings if you can get the right outcome, right number of games. I don't think I see a scenario where basically the home team wins every game. I'm looking, and you get some of these prices, 90 to 1, 100 to 1. I just can't find the one where it's Spurs, Knicks, and then Spurs, Knicks, Spurs, unless I'm missing it, and I don't think I am. which, I mean, they should list everything, and I don't think they do, but that would be at least one where you just root for the home team to win every time, and if you can get 90, 100 to 1, you could probably figure out, you know, hedges along the way and take some points, but I don't know. Should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Are you as excited for this series as you know, as I am here? Do you think this will be a fun series?
I'm very excited for it. I'm also excited that I'm going to be in New York with a bunch of people who are rooting for the Knicks. And I have both teams equally. But actually, I have a little bit more on the Spurs. But I also have some great future parlays that I did on the Knicks as a hedge before the Philly series. So I'm almost not even sure who I want to win, because some of these. The future parlays I did, I linked them up with the Brewers at plus 500 for the division when they were like seven back against the Cubs earlier, I want to say like May 3rd or May 2nd. And I just thought the price was so outrageous. I go, the Cubs aren't going to win 14 in a row. The rest, you know, they're not going to keep winning. They were on like a 13-game winning streak. And the Brewers were plus 500 and the Knicks were plus 750. And I linked them with five or six college football teams. So I really think the Brewers, and we'll talk about that, I think, in a second. I really think the Brewers are a lock for that division. And now I'm thinking, hey, if the Knicks win the finals, I got five or six college football teams at, you know, mid five figures. Because, I mean, the parlays are so huge because you got plus 750, plus 500. And then you add in a college football future at a big plus number too. So it's one of those ones where I could get the immediate money now if the Spurs win. It'd be cool to have the futures on some of those college football teams come fall.
Yeah, and that's a good feeling to have, to be set up both ways, but it's also conflicting as a better where you're not sure who to root for. I want to know who to root for. I went through a little bit of that with the last round. You want to know
who to root for. Well, that's why I took Knicks game one. At least I'll have a rooting interest game one. Knicks plus the points.
Yeah, makes sense. We're recording this before game one of the NHL. Did you have a quick thought on what do you expect from that series? Who wins? How long? That kind of thing.
I mean, it's tough to go against Vegas. It seems like no one has home ice advantage in this playoffs except Vegas, and I guess Carolina because they haven't really lost many games. But everyone else in the playoffs seems to not have much home ice advantage. So we'll see. You figure it's going to be a low-scoring series, but you know, it's tough to bet those unders in the games, especially when they're obviously going to be desperate. It's the Stanley Cup Finals. They're going to pull the goalie. I'm probably going to look maybe for some unders in the first period, even though that's been a recipe somewhat for disaster in some of these, you know, especially in the Montreal series. Montreal was getting two goals every one of their games in the first period. It was high scoring. I do have Hart for Conn Smythe at 99-1.
Wow.
Only for a small bet, like it's a $50 wager, but I didn't take Marner. I kind of screwed up there. I actually had the Avs, so I had the Ducks for the West and the Avs for the Cup, and Vegas took out both of them. So kind of a little perturbed about Vegas Knights right now, but I think it should be a low-scoring game. Both of the goalies have played well. Both teams don't give up a lot of shots. Both teams don't give up a lot of goals. I'm leaning towards Carolina. I think it's probably finally their time. You know, probably most of these teams are, you know, kind of fed up with Vegas. They're in the conference finals or the Stanley Cup, it seems like, every other year. And for an expansion team, pretty incredible run.
Yep, absolutely. And by the way, I did find those exact series outcome. The one I was looking for with the Knicks were basically, not just basically, the home team wins every game. So San Antonio, Knicks, San Antonio, Knicks, San Antonio. Let's see. 35-1. No, that's the Knicks. There's so many damn combinations with this stuff, Chris, that it's hard to find. But I do believe it's on here. And again, you gotta kind of navigate the site here, but you know, kind of in that range.
Yeah.
All right. Baseball.
I bet three or four of those, and then I had to go back and remember which way I didn't have it, and I had to go. I must have gone back like seven times because I couldn't. I didn't write it down, and I kept looking at the app, and I'm like, you know, and they're so close together, and your eyes kind of play tricks on you.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the one where home teams win every game. So obviously the Spurs win in seven, and literally the home teams go 7-0, 18-1. Not enough for me. Some of these are big prices when you get cute with, you know, the road teams winning games, but 18-1 for the home team to win every game. Probably not enough.
I feel like but that's the one you could just kind of bet anyways and never have. It's, you're always going to be a slight favorite.
Right.
I feel like you would definitely get more than 18-1 in a rollover unless somebody got injured.
I would think so. Yes, I would absolutely think so. of baseball, what would you recommend adding right now here as we approach the summer? Anything you think is worth adding here?
Well, I'm a big future parlay guy, and I think the Brewers are an absolute mortal lock for the NL Central. And the team that I'd be worried about second is not even the Cubs. It's the Pirates. And if the Pirates do something like maybe they claim they're going to be spending some money and they claim they're going to be making some moves, if they say trade for Chapman, get him from the Red Sox, he was already there. He's dominant. He's their biggest need. Their starting pitching has been great. Their hitting has been well above average. They have a good run differential. So they're the one team I think that could chase down the Brewers. You can get them at like plus 800 for the division. But I really think the Brewers right now at minus 160 at Caesars, minus 170 at DraftKings for the division is kind of a lock. I mean, I don't trust the Cubs rotation, their bullpen, too many injuries. The Cardinals, I think it's unsustainable. The Reds aren't going to be there, in my opinion. And, I mean, the Brewers are just, they're a good team. I mean, they got plus 88 run differential. They get Mizrosi. They get Harrison, who they stole from the Red Sox. They get a great manager. They don't hit a lot of home runs, but they just seem to play really good baseball. They put up a lot of runs without getting a lot of home runs. They seem to have cured their Dodger problem a little bit. We'll see if that comes around in the playoffs. But I like the Brewers a lot for that division. I like the Pirates as a little bit of a saver there at a big number. And I do like the Brewers for the National League. You get plus 700, plus 750, plus 800, shop around. You do have to go up against the Dodgers, but it's tough to get to the World Series 3 years in a row. And then you have the Braves factor. Is Chris Sale going to stay healthy? I don't know. I guess on the flip side, you could say, is Mizrosky going to pitch, you know, over 200 innings? But, I mean, no one's on a better tier than him right now. This NL Cy Young race is exciting. But I really like the Brewers, and I think they're a great spot. And I echo your sentiments, too, about I think the Yankees are a guarantee for the American League East, too. I mean, I know that was a nice little run by Tampa, but minus 200. You got great pitching. You got Cole's back now. Wait till the weather warms up. The Yankees mash bad pitching. So I think they got too many weapons on that team to be only minus 220 or 200 for the American League East. So just a couple ones that you might want to throw in. As not technically free squares, but if you do future parlays, you want to build them and get a little bit of a boost, those are a couple I'd recommend. And I do like the Brewers for the National League. And if you want to take a gander on Pirates for National League, I wouldn't bat my eye against it. I have them at 50-1 before the season. You know, we'll see how it goes. They still got schemes. They got some other guys that are pitching really good. And if they can just get the bullpen fixed, they could be a real force.
What do you make of this loaded NL Cy Young race?
It's just unbettable. You want to come in and like take a stab at somebody. I don't have anyone. I'm very fortunate to have Schlittler at 100-1 for AL, and I did take Cole last week at 150-1. I still can't believe it. Cole's down to 80-1 now. I still think that's a pretty good bet. If you have nothing in the market right now, I mean, it's impossible to bet Schlittler at minus 110 or whatever he is, but I think Cole would be a good bet. But the National League, it's just incredible. And it seems like a new guy just enters the market every week. They're saying, quote, you know, Burns might be a guy now, or, you know, Kyle Harrison, I think you might have taken, you took a piece of him. You even got Mason Miller, Mizrosky, Sanchez. It's just incredible. It's incredible. Skeens is 5-1, which is nuts. But then you look back, he's only 6-5, and he hasn't been the regular schemes as we're used to. So I don't know. It's super exciting. It just shows how much better the National League is than the American League this year. I mean, what do we have? Like three teams over 500 in the American League, Seattle, Cleveland, and the Yankees, and Tampa, I guess. So four teams, but just a weird, very weird year. I think one thing we should advise people to do is when you get these interleague matchups, maybe just blindly go National League against the American League. I think it's a 20-game advantage already so far this season.
Yeah, and I mean, Skeens, if you had nothing else to pocket, Skeens at plus 550. I mean, it's not the worst bet. Harrison is still 50-1. He's starting on Tuesday night. But that's going to be, man, I just keep saying, putting it this way. Whoever wins that race, whoever wins that award is going to have earned it. We'll switch gears here.
We didn't even mention Ohtani.
I mean, I know.
His ERA is like zero.
and gave up no hits last time out. Didn't give a lot of length, but it's incredible. I mean, there's six or seven guys where in any given year it would be a runaway for them, and it's, you know, Sale, Chase Burns, who I know got scratched on Monday night, but look at Chase Burns' numbers. It's ridiculous. It really is just ridiculous. Maybe the bet is the National League and the All-Star game.
There's seven or eight guys who are under two ERA. It's just an unheard of. That's why there's no, I mean, it's amazing that Schwarber still gets pitches to hit and he has that, what does he have, 20-something home runs already? But no one else, I mean, we complain about our teams and, you know, the Red Sox can't hit and this guy can't hit and that guy can't hit. It's because the pitchers are just so, so good, you know, and they're throwing, everyone's throwing over 100 miles an hour now. It's an incredible, incredible feat. And I know they don't pitch as many innings as they used to and no one finishes games and no one has a complete game anymore, but the ERAs and the strikeout numbers are just astronomical.
Yeah, it's video game stuff. It really is. And just when your fastball is that hard, then your slider is going to be hard and your curve is going to be hard. And these hitters just wait to hit mistakes. And it's very difficult. All right, last couple here. We'll switch gears. Have you bet anything in football yet?
Yeah, I played. Well, some of the teams I'm using in future parlays moving forward and taking some stuff on the side as well is I'm going back to the well with Miami. 14, 15 to 1 for national championship. You're getting probably the best transfer quarterback. You're getting Darian Mensah, who's going to be playing with a much better offense, a much better offensive line, and much better skill position guys than he was playing last year at Duke. And he still put up great numbers at Duke. You know, he's going to have Malachi Toney running down the middle of the field. That guy was one of the most electric players I've seen in college football. You know, their tough games are at Clemson and then on October 3rd and then probably the biggest game of the year, the Catholics versus the Convicts again, November 7th at South Bend. So, you know, who knows? I mean, Notre Dame and Miami, I think, are both going to make the playoff. I mean, Notre Dame, you know, they don't play anyone this year. But you look at Miami's schedule, it's not that much tougher. I mean, they play at Notre Dame. They have early road games, Stanford and Wake. They have FSU at home. They finish with Duke, Virginia Tech, and BC at home. So not a tough schedule. And you figure they're going to make it, and they're double the odds as Notre Dame. So give me double the odds on Miami over Notre Dame for national championship. I also have a slice of Mensah at 14, 15 to 1 for Heisman. I played those. So those are just some of the college ideas I have. NFL, taking a little bit of a couple of big, deep long shots. I'm not saying they're going to make the Super Bowl, but I just think that the NFL has proven over the last few years that you can do a total turnaround. Look at the Patriots last year. Look at Seattle last year. Look at Denver. And I'm looking for teams that can make that turnaround with, you know, second-year quarterbacks, maybe a new head coach, maybe a new offensive coordinator. And the two that caught my radar were New Orleans. I played them at 50 to 1 for NFC, well over 100 to 1 for Super Bowl. I like the way Kellen Moore calls plays. You get the second year of Shuck. You get a new toy in Jordan Tyson, pairing him with Olave. You get ATN coming over from Jacksonville as the feature back. We'll see if, what's his name is going to play this year for the Saints. I'm losing my train of thought here. Who's the running back with the Saints? Been there forever.
Kamara?
Yeah, Kamara. Yeah, you know, he's always injured. See if he actually, comes back as a, you know, some sort of role. I just think the team has a good shot. And they're in that division where no one's really good. Do you trust the Falcons? No, they have Tua as a quarterback. Or, you know, do you trust Carolina? Bryce Young. You know, who do you really trust in that division? So, Give me the Saints. I'm going to probably play them over the win total. I just don't like to put so much money up for these win totals this early in the year. I know you can sometimes get a little better juice, but I do like the Saints a little bit. And I like Tennessee as well. Cam Ward gets another new toy, Carnell Tate. You have a great defensive mind that's coming in as a head coach in Salah. And then you got one of the best offensive coordinators. He's not a good head coach, but one of the best offensive coordinators in Brian Daboll coming in. And if you could go from two all-star type coaches with Salah and Daboll from where they were with Brian Callahan and Mike McCoy, two of the worst NFL coaches of the past, you know, 20, 30 years, just inept guys, not good on offense, no No exciting play calling, not much help around Cam Ward. I just think that's just such a big uplift. And to get, they did a lot of, Tennessee did a lot of free agency too. So I played them 80-1 in the AFC.
Wow.
I think like 150-1 for Super Bowl. I mean, not crazy, enormous super bets, but I just think it can happen. And in another division that's terrible, do you trust the Colts? Injury with Danny Dimes. Jacksonville, you know, hit or miss every year. The Texans, the great defense, but does anyone trust Stroud after what we saw in the playoffs last year? So you get those two weak divisions with two up-and-coming teams, you know, and maybe one of them catches lightning in the bottle like the Patriots did or like Seattle did, and next thing you know, you're in the playoffs and you get a very, very hedgeable ticket.
All right, interesting. I like it, especially that Titans one. That's a team that's burned me the past few years, but I agree with everything you said. All right, finally, Belmont, who do you like? Who do you got? What are you looking for in this race?
Well, is a lot of the combatants from the Kentucky Derby coming back to run, you know, the ones that skipped the Preakness. You have Renegade, Commandment, Chief Wallaby, the winner of the Derby, Golden Tempo. So another emerging market's also coming back. It looks like there's going to be a little bit of speed in the race, as it usually is. But the Belmont is, you know, it's run at Saratoga. It's run at 10 furlongs. And it's not the 12 as the regular Belmont, because there's no place to put the starting gate at Saratoga to do it safely for the horses to run 12 furlongs. So it's still 10 furlongs, which is far distance. A lot of these horses don't want to run that far. The two that definitely do want to run that far are Renegade, the four horse, Irad Ortiz, and Todd Fletcher as a trainer. And the nine, Golden Tempo, Cherie DeVoe, Jose Ortiz to ride. And that just happens to be the exacta that was the winner at the Kentucky Derby, Golden Tempo over Renegade. The situation there, though, is Renegade was at the one post, had the most ridiculous trip where he almost got smashed into the rail by three or four horses. It was a miracle that Irad Ortiz was able to even stay on the horse, let alone come all the way and get second. So I kind of tend to think it's going to be those two horses again, probably going to have a big exacta box 4-9. The one horse that scares me a little bit is a horse I liked on Derby Day, which is the 8 Emerging Market. Flavian Pratt rides for Chad Brown. Emerging Market lost a shoe in the Derby. So the horse had a little bit of a trouble trip, ended up losing a shoe, finished a little bit farther back in the pack. He looked like he was making a menacing move at the top of the stretch. And I remember after the race, I go, what the heck happened to the 15? What happened to Emerging Market? Well, it turns out he lost a shoe. He might be a little bit more forwardly placed, so you might have to be watching the track to see what horses are winning, either from off the pace or from on the pace. And he's one of the ones where I'll be looking at the betting board to see if he's taking some money, because he was a very sharp horse on Derby Day. And if he's taking money in the pools, you're gonna be sure that this horse is alive. Flavian Pratt, one of the best jockeys in the world. Chad Brown, not afraid to win races. So those are the three I'm looking at. More leaning on Renegade, the 4, and Golden Tempo, the 9. But curious to see what the betting interest is in Emerging Market, the 8.
Chris, you're the best, man. I appreciate it. Where can we find your stuff?
Find me on the Twitter machine, X Machine, at Real Gauge. And you can catch me once or twice a week, Betting Weekly Studios with Mike Carver and Doug Kazarian. I'll be doing a show a little bit later today. So check me out there and interact on Twitter. Always happy to help people with some betting information. If we can get some more tickets cashed, that's more the merrier.
All right, rate, review, subscribe. We will be back on Friday. We will have a game 1 in the books, and we will preview game 2 of the NBA Finals. Somebody will be up 1-0. That's my bold prediction. But rate, review, subscribe. Had a few of them come in, so try to get those up. I've been meaning to post a contest. We'll get a contest going here in the near future. So rate, review, subscribe. Those help us out. We'll be back Friday. See you then.